Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Now, the show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers.
Presented by Shaws and Star Market. Download the Shaws app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, Sports Etc., Devlin Solar, and Mass General Brigham.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome in to another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hope you're having a good Saturday morning as we get together for a couple of hours of hockey talk. Great to have you with us in a full day of hockey here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins and Penguins coming up with a 12:30 face-off. Good afternoon tilt over at the Garden as the Bruins try to right the ship here this afternoon. The guys who are on the call will be here with us for the first hour. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers, joining me here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
All right. Not the most successful week that we've seen from this team. In fact, for the first time in more than 2 years, the Bruins have lost three games in a row. Tough matchups against Washington last Sunday. St. Louis, obviously, on Tuesday night. You thought maybe they'd come back on Thursday night and solve the problems. They got up in the first period, and then things took a massive turn for the worse in the second period. They wind up losing to Ottawa 3-2. First question, how much of this is related to the injuries that they're dealing with? Pasternak being out, Lindholm being out. They've had Grizzlick go out. They've had Carlo go out. Now Ullmark leaves after one period on Thursday night. How much is related to those injuries, and how much of this is a bigger issue right now for this team?
I think a lot's related to the injuries. I really do. I think, but you can't, you know, no one's going to listen to that. No one's going to care.
Yeah, no excuse. You can't make that excuse. But
so, but I do believe that's a big part of it. But the fact is that you've got to find a way right now. And the Bruins haven't played winning hockey. They haven't, you know, spaces, right? For parts of games, they have. And then all of a sudden, it goes away, and it goes away in a hurry. You know, whether it's penalties that are taken at the wrong time, whether it's the penalty kill not being able to get the job done, the power play that has gone dormant here over the last, what, six games? I think it is. Yeah. It was four games. It was over the road trip, and we've been home for two games, right? So six games they've gone without a goal on a power play. I mean, that's a weapon that has just disappeared here recently. So, and it's not just David Pastrnak being out of lineup. That's it. That's a big part of it on the power play. I'm talking about. That's a big part of it. But I mean, it's. I think it's shown some life here the last couple of games where they've generated some opportunities. Last game was telling to me where 1 minute that top unit was off the ice, right? it like, do not overstay. You know,
it wasn't the minute and 45 seconds. Right, let the second right. unit come out and have about 10 seconds and go.
No, it was 1 minute and they were off, and it was a lot, and it was like not a whistle. They were going off. So, you know, that was telling to me, there's a few things that showed up the other day, you know, against Ottawa. They still didn't get the result, but there was a few things that stood out to me in terms of I thought there were a lot more dump-ins. There was a lot more, like, we're going to chip and chase. We're not, you know, we're not screwing around at the blue lines. But still, there's still a lot of holes in their game right now. And yes, the injuries are a big factor. But like I said, nobody cares, and no one's going to feel sorry for you. You still need to win certain. There's certain games you should still win, and I think Ottawa was one of them. Ottawa's got a lot of good young players, but that's a game on home ice when you're trying to pull yourself out of it that you need a W with.
The Bruins had leads in the second period in all three of those games. Mm-hmm. They had the 2-0 lead after one in the Ottawa game, carried that over into the second period, and they had a 2-1 lead before they took back-to-back minor penalties. We can have a longer discussion about that one. Go back to Washington. They had a lead at that point. Tom Wilson was able to tie it up with, I think, about 5 minutes left in the second period. Prior to that, first game of the homestand. Again, you have a lead in the second period. It evaporates against the St. Louis Blues. I think a couple of things that stick out to me just...
Take it back to Detroit, Trent. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know they won a game in between against, you know, Tampa, which was a nice win, a really nice win. But you can trace this all the way back, I think, to Detroit.
I think you can. And for me, what's the bedrock of the Bruins? It's the way they defend. And I think that that's been kind of spotty as we look across the 60 minutes that they've played here in the last three straight games for the last five. And that's kind of popped up. You know, yes, you're leaking oil on special teams, whether it's the power play or the penalty kill. But for me, that's what stands out. The other thing is, when the Bruins were going on that run, I think it was Bruce Cassidy and a number of different guys, if they lost their games for a couple of shifts, they were able to get it back quick. And they were able to snap back and start to make the right decisions, play winning hockey, find ways to win games. They haven't been able to conjure that here during this last run. I mean,
so if we're still on the glass half empty, right? 5-on-5, the chances, you bring it up. Allmark had to be really good in the first period against mm-hmm. Ottawa. I mean, he had to be really good, and he was. Unfortunately, he has to leave with, you know, an injury. But they gave up at least two breakaways in the third period, right? I mean,
Connor Brown had two.
Yeah. Connor Brown had two breakaways in the third period, and they had some good looks.
Tim Stützle had that turnaround backhand shot in the slot.
You know, that to me, that's telling in terms of where you're struggling right now.
Well, and as Judd said, you know, that's always been kind of the bedrock of this team is, look, even if, you know, your offense is struggling or your power play is struggling and you're not putting goals up on the board, you know, enough to win, the defense is, you know, from a team perspective, is almost always there, and it has failed them.
You're not getting timely goals. There's some guys that are in slumps, you know, for whatever reason this time of year. I don't know. You know, you had guys that got hot for a little while, now have cooled off a little bit. You've got lines that were really good, and now they're struggling, you know, as a line, as a group. You've tinkered so much with the D pairs because you've got these injuries out, you know, and we'll see if Carlo plays today. We don't know. Grizzly came back last game, looked okay, so, but I don't think he's right. You know, I think he's battling through something. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, you take Lindholm out of your lineup, that's a massive hole on the left side. You know, you Pasternak's out. You've filled some gaps up front, but there are guys that are struggling right now. There's no question. And they've got to figure out a way out of it.
Well, and we'll get into some of the details of that. You know, Bruce Cassidy is kind of pointed at the third line, who was so hot for a while, and then they've all gone quiet. He sat Frederick the other night, hoping that would maybe send a message to the whole group.
That right there is you're up 2-1 against the hottest team in the NHL right now in St. Louis, or one of the hottest teams in the league, and you're up 2-1 in the second period, and you take that roughing penalty. Now you can argue they should have taken both guys. I get that, and I can see that, but they only took one.
But you can't give the ref the opportunity.
I guess. I mean, but you only took, and unfortunately for Trent Frederick, it was him that took it. And then there was a call against Bergeron, right? Was that game when they went?
No, that was the Ottawa game.
Never mind. Right.
Gave the 5-on-3 against Ottawa.
Yeah, right. But you give them a power play, and you've already killed off a few penalties against St. Louis, and they're the best team on the road on the power play. Now they got a power play in the second period. They tie the game. And, you know, the rest, you move on from there. They give up a quick goal after that.
Well, that's been a long-running issue. The Bruins, heading into the game again, are leading the league in minor penalties, and it seems like they're taking them at really inopportune times. It's one thing if it's a hook that's going to prevent a goal and you're going to let your penalty-killing unit see if they can, you know, overcome the minor penalty that you take, but there are offensive zone infractions. I know Bruce Cassidy didn't sound like he was too pleased with Connor Clifton, the play he made on the delay of game penalty, where he felt like, I think specifically the words that he used, hey, we've talked about getting on your strong side, getting on your forehand, not trying to make a play on your backhand. He hoists it from his backhand over the glass into the stands. Again, inopportune. They took too many men penalties. The first one I don't think was merited. The second one was.
It was close. The first one was close. But the second one was a no-brainer. That was easy call.
These are things that, you know, if you're really an optimist and you're looking ahead and, you know, the Bruins have 8 games remaining in the regular season, the optimist in you says, okay, they're going to get it all out of their system now. They're going to get it all done. So when the playoffs start, whomever they face, and it's going to be a really tough foe, they're going to be ready to go. That's the optimist in you. That's the way you have to think.
Well, you got a couple of weeks, right? You got a couple of weeks to try to pull yourself out of what you've
teams,
seen.
All teams go through it, or to some degree. Pittsburgh has gone through it, no question. They had 3 wins in 10 games. They won the other day. St. Louis went through it. They were calling each other out in St. Louis a few weeks ago. Now, all of a sudden, they're one of the best teams in the league, you know, lately. You know, right? I mean, yeah. You had Justin Falk calling guys out, or calling the team out, right? You had Berube calling the team out, and now they put it all together, and they've got some of the hottest players in the league. I see most teams go through it at some point during the year. You got to pull yourself out of it, though.
The other factor I think that, you know, maybe we really haven't talked about it is it's been months since everybody has known in the Eastern Conference who's going to be in. And most teams, I don't care who you talk to, I don't think anybody really is saying I think they'd like to have home ice, but I don't think they have to have home ice in order to win. I think you don't have to go very far to think about all the teams that have won Stanley Cup finals on the road. 2011. So does that sort of weigh into that? Because you're not forced to play your best game because you're battling for life and death to have that chance to get into the playoffs. The Bruins have been in for a long time, like a lot of these teams. And maybe because of that, this is a byproduct that we're seeing.
It just, you know, and you talk about how every team goes through these
Toronto,
types of stretches.
Tampa.
Absolutely. But we've also seen, you know, for a fairly significant period of time early on in the season, the Bruins were this team. I think this is, you know, Bruce Cassidy expressed that after the loss on Tuesday to St. Louis. He said, this is like being back in November. This is what we were doing back in November. We're playing half a hockey game. We're making uncharacteristic mistakes and bad decisions. And we're not making the smart play. And so we have seen them pull themselves out of this before. Can they do it again here over the course of the next couple of weeks? 617-779-0985. We can get to your calls coming up. Judd and Bob are with us here for the first hour of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Go, go, go!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Frustration, as I said, is a useless emotion, so I'm not frustrated. I want to correct things. We had some miscommunications on the bench tonight. We had some, you know, lack of focus, especially on the power play when we're going back into our own end there. Late almost took us out of the game where, you know, we're getting some momentum and just finishing the play and then break the puck out. We lack a finish with some guys, you know, obviously hurting us right now, not shooting at appropriate times. So certainly some guys that we rely on, Steve, on a regular basis every night, aren't putting up the numbers right now for whatever reason. We'll look a little closer at that, and I don't think it'll go on forever. They're too good. Some other lines need to get back to their game. I thought McLaughlin's line was excellent. They played to their strength below the goal line. But some guys typically that are used to putting up goals and points, when it doesn't go in, they can get frustrated. We'll just try to make sure we channel it, you know, into positive energy as best we can.
.985 The Sports Hub, back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Some of Bruce Cassidy's comments this week as he and the Bruins try to figure out how to turn around their worst losing streak of the season with 8 games to go until the playoffs. Bruins still have not officially clinched a playoff spot yet. It will happen one of these days. Could have happened last night, but Montreal couldn't come through. So, you know, go out, get a win, get yourself into the playoffs, get the thing righted today would be a great way to turn things around. Penguins without Malkin today, as he's serving a suspension.
And no Jari.
And no Jari today either, yeah. So
Carey Price, by the way, back in nets for Montreal last night.
Good to see.
They still had 40, I think they had 44 shots on Sorokin. Sorokin threw the shutout, spoiled the party.
He's been really good.
I know, yeah. Too bad. The Islanders are just a little bit too late. They've been really good.
But good to see Carey Price back in a position where he can be back on the ice with that team. You know, we hate on the Canadians a lot, but you
still
know, from a personal perspective,
even with two Boston guys running it,
still the blue blanc et rouge. I mean, it's that doesn't change. You know, from a personal perspective, great to see Carey Price and what he's been through. Help put that behind him and get back out on the ice with his team last night. 617-779-0985. Let's start with Maria in Watertown. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, everyone. Right off the bat, I want to wish everyone a happy Easter, happy Passover.
You too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so I'm going to do what I have criticized Bruce Cassidy for doing in the past, and that is how can a team that has the likes of Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, Charlie McAvoy. I'll even throw Jake DeBrusque in that basket right now. With guys like this, how can this team be struggling, the likes of which they're struggling right now and making the mental errors that they are making right now? It's frustrated. And Bob, to your point, nobody cares about injuries. Every team has injuries. They need to figure out a way to get their heads right and get back to playing a game that I thought they had figured out how to play, which is playing a full 60 minutes. I do have a question that I'd like you guys to chat about if you want, and that's with regard to the defensemen. I've about reached the end of my rope with the likes of Riley and Forbert, and I know that they don't have a lot of options right now. But, gentlemen, those two guys are not guys that I want to see out on the ice regularly at this point in time, especially Mike Riley. The high-sticking penalties are an atrocity at this point. And if he was bringing some offense from the back end, I might excuse it. But, you know, he's doing, like, peewee-like stuff with his stick, man. And it's at the wrong flip in time. I get you. That, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, Maria, thanks very much for the call. Let's start there with the D. They made some moves at the trade deadline to help shore up the D, and obviously they bring in Lindholm, who was, you know, the big acquisition. But he's been out for what, today's 5 in a row, I think, for him. That disrupts a lot of things. And then, as we've talked about, Carlo goes down, he misses a game. Grizzlick goes down, he misses a game. That has disrupted things, obviously, a lot, but overall, it's been lacking. Even with those guys out for some an extended period of time, just for a game and a half in other cases, that has been disruptive of the whole thing. And I would imagine when you get into a position where, you know, not making excuses, but when you get into a position where it seems like every game you're suddenly getting shortened down to five available defensemen, and they're not even your best five, then that's going to cause problems for any team, no matter who you are.
Yeah, and it has. I mean, when everybody's healthy, you slot people in the right spot. You know, they're slotted correctly. You know, Lindholm's playing 20 plus minutes. He's not in the lineup. Who's playing those minutes, right? All of a sudden, you've got to elevate these other guys to play more minutes. And there's a whole thing at the deadline. Okay, what do they need most? Well, you know, you put a priority list together, and I think we were all in semi-agreement anyhow, okay, left D that can play a lot of minutes. Well, they got that guy. Now he's out again. So, you know, when you start playing good teams and you're in the playoffs, you need that. If you don't have it, you got guys slotted in a little bit higher than they probably should be. And you're counting on them to do things that taking them out of their comfort zone. Now, it doesn't mean they can't do it. You know, hey, somebody gets hurt, it's an opportunity for somebody to step in and step up. So, you know, even on the right side right now, right? Josh Brown he's the newcomer. He's probably playing more minutes than we would normally see him play if everybody was healthy. He might not be in the lineup if you know, Carlo's in there and McAvoy certainly is in there. And, you know, if Clifton is your third pair right side, then Josh Brown's your casualty, right? But you had Clifton playing the left side the other day because they didn't have enough bodies. So right now, yeah, they're going through it. No question. They got to get past some of these injuries, and you hope that they're not too severe. It was nice to see Grizzlick back in there. You know, I hope he's 100%. I'm not sure that he is, but he's still battling through it. Carlo, we don't know. You know, we'll wait and see today. That's, you know, no morning skate, obviously, so we'll wait and see when we get to the arena today. But this is but in the playoffs, are you going to get injuries? Most likely.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we felt it was so important,
yes,
to go out and not just get Lindholm at the deadline, but they added Brown because they needed more bodies, NHL caliber bodies at the deadline.
So
we knew,
you know,
that.
You're giving up opportunities defensively. You know, maybe that's because you're trying to do too much at the offensive end, and then it's a trickle-down effect. You know, we got to score, we got to score, we got to score, and then you're giving up two breakaways in the third period the other day. You know, I mean, but the chances they've been given up, I think. And I do trace it back to that Detroit game because we talked about it, and how many opportunities did Detroit have right in front of the net? And then they seemed to tighten that up against Tampa. They were better against the Lightning, mm-hmm, in that area. But now you're having breakdowns at the wrong time, whether it's penalties, whether it's chances against, whether it's not burying the opportunities they get, whether it's not scoring on the power play, whether it's not getting it done on the penalty kill. I mean, it's the long list is there. And I don't know how you put a priority to it, but it's all kind of going wrong at the right time or at the same time right now for the team.
Well, and puck management, it's got to be somewhere on that
puck
list.
Puck management.
That's one of the things I think if Bruce Cassidy said at times that's really cropped up for this team. And when you're missing key defensemen, and again, it is not an excuse, you have to be able to manage the puck a little bit better. And that was certainly one of their issues in that loss against St. Louis.
You know, big picture, okay? You went on a really good run, and you put yourself in a great spot. Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know if you're in a position to say we want to play this team in the playoffs, we want to play that team in the playoffs. But you look at the standings, and they are 3 points behind Tampa Bay. Okay, so it's not like they've fallen completely off the map. They're 3 points behind Tampa Bay. They're still 3 points up on the Capitals in the wild card. You know, the Islanders aren't going to catch them. The Islanders are way behind. You know, you're 1 point behind the Penguins. Not that that matters. Or 2 points behind the Penguins, but not that that's a huge deal. But you know, these are good teams. A lot of people pick Pittsburgh to come out of the East, mm-hmm, right? I mean, depending on who you talk to, well, you're right behind them in the standings. So, big picture, they're still right there, but they have holes in their game that they need to straighten out now before the playoffs start.
Yeah, and you know, just kind of getting back to the point, you know, you made about Grizzlick. He gets back in the lineup, but just it's clear, and I think it's clear from what Bruce Cassidy has said about it too, that, you know, they're kind of managing it game to game, I think is the way that he put it. He was able to come back and he looked at, you know, he looks okay, but he's not 100%.
We asked Cassidy the other day,
yep,
Ryan, and before the game in our pregame interview, just, you know, how do you balance out rest? And we've talked about this a few times here and getting ready for the playoffs and health. And he said, the guys that are out right now are out because they can't play. Like, you know, he was asked, I think, by somebody else, if the playoffs started with these guys playing, no, the answer is no.
Right, they're not sitting them yet.
And he said, our first priority right now is to get into the playoffs. So I do think once they're in, and not, I don't think anybody's panicking, right? They're in, they're going to be in. But I think they want to make sure that they're in and then maybe reevaluate things.
But I almost think with Grizzlick, if they were healthier on the back end,
he might be out.
He might not be playing right now because he's clearly not 100%. But because they don't have Lindholm, because Carlo gets banged up, like they don't really have much of an option other than
a playoff. We don't know that for a fact, but I would agree with that. Yeah,
you're 74 games into the season. Everybody's dealing with something.
Sure.
Some more than others.
617-779-0985. You can join us. We'll talk more about this week with the Bruins coming up as we continue on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, it's tough when you lose a weapon like him. He opens up a lot just because he's such a threat, even when he's not handling the puck or shooting it. But it's just, you know, finding out how we have to play without him. We had a couple chances that we missed the last couple games that, you know, we probably should have capitalized on, but we haven't been overly clean. So it's just about cleaning up our execution. If we do that, I think we'll create more opportunities.
.985 The Sports Hub, back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Voice of Brad Marchand there talking about having to clean things up. A lot of discussion about that this week as the Bruins have dropped three in a row to Washington, St. Louis, and Ottawa and get ready for a matchup against Pittsburgh this afternoon over at TD Garden. And, you know, I mean, you're missing Pastrnak, and we talked about the injuries and the impact that that has and the impact on the power play especially. And you know, Marchand has gone into a slump. His last goal was back on April the 2nd. He's got 2 points over the course of the last six games. The power play is such a big part of what they do. And obviously, Pasternak's, you know, that one-timer from that left circle is such a potent weapon for this team. But 0 for 23 is a hell of a bad stretch. So kind of overall view of what you've seen out of that unit and why have they not been able to generate even the odd goal here and there? It's not, you know, not that you would expect them to be as potent without Pasternak in the lineup, but they, you know, for a while, they weren't really generating much of anything.
Lack of chances, first of all.
Yeah.
It's not just lack of goals. It's lack of chances. It's, you know, and then giving up chances the other way. You know, you go through spells during the season where you're just clicking, and you're moving the puck. There's movement in the offensive end. There's you know, the options just seem to be, you know, endless, right? You've got so many different options just because you're playing with so much confidence and you're zipping the puck around. Right now, it's you can take it back to whether it's entries, which has been a big problem. Whether it's been the lack of stagnant in the offensive end, holding on to the puck too long, hitting skates and sticks and trying to pass through bodies, you know, looking for seams that just aren't there. You know, and so, you know, old school is okay, let's get it back to the point and pound it. Get it back. It's not that simple either, but there has to be an element of a shot there mentality as well. So, I do think that they tried to simplify it a little bit the other day, maybe even over the last couple of days, but certainly the other day against Ottawa. You know, they weren't as you know, in terms of getting the puck in the zone and trying to chase it down that way, because it what they're doing isn't working. And they've tried personnel changes, right? They moved Grizzly to the top unit. They moved McAvoy to the second unit. They had Coyle there for a little while. Now he's so they're trying different things without David Pastrnak in there. But it's right now. Sometimes it's just a confidence thing. But I see the movement part of it that has to be there more, way more than what they have. And they have tried it a little bit. You know, so they've tried DeBrusk in front of the net now. They've moved Hall up on that left wing circle, even though he's a left shot. So, you know, a lot of power plays will do that anyhow. Now you got Marchand and maybe McAvoy or Grizzlick. They're a little bit interchangeable. We'll see what they do today. Look, they're going to keep getting asked about it because they're not getting the job done. But they've been in a top 10 in the league all season long, and I think they probably dropped out of the top 10 by now. But they're still right there. Now it's just a matter of finding it again. And once they find it again, I think they'll break through a little bit.
They're 12th as of this morning. But Matt Grzelcyk, the other thing that he mentioned is because the Bruins are going through these multitude of issues, guys are starting to think. And when you're starting to think
and squeeze the stick.
And then that's when things really start to slow down. And one of the things that he mentioned is much more of a five-on-five mentality. Let the work ethic take over, and then the skills will kick in.
Yeah, I mean, it's in some cases, it's been
a little bit predictable, too, I think.
Well, it used to be a menu of options. You know, it was, okay, first look is to Bergeron in the bumper, and then the second look is to Pastrnak on the left elbow. He's not there. Okay, well, third option is going to Brad Marchand. Then the fourth option is down in front of the net, and then start to get things moving. And just getting in and getting set up has been an issue, much less going through that punch list.
And you know, when you get set up in the zone, even as you know, Bob, you started
holding
to talk
on
about
to the puck.
It's the decisions aren't coming fast enough, and I think you know that becomes, as you said, Judd, kind of a mental thing where you know there's the pressure builds, and now guys start thinking about what am I not supposed to do here, and that extra split second that it takes to make that decision, suddenly the defense is ready for whatever it is you are going to do. You know, it gives them more time to recover if you've got them out of position. You know, that delay can be everything.
Yeah, and then they overstay for, you know, I already touched on that. Last game, it was a minute, or not even a minute, for one of the power plays, not even a minute, and they were off. They went through three power plays, you know, three power play units. So you had the top unit, then you had the second unit that went out, and then they came back with the top unit because of a couple of whistles. So, you know, when you get guys sometimes that are overstaying, now you're giving up a chance at the tail end of a power play because you're exhausted and you're turning a puck over in the offensive end, and all of a sudden they're going back the other way on a two-on-one. So that has become a bit of an issue as well.
You can just see the frustration that is just steaming off the ice, and it's also coming from the bench because when you see a pass that's not made, you can watch Bruce Cassidy starting to pace back and forth on the bench. He'll reach down, he'll grab something, and you can also see it from the skaters who are on the ice and the guys who are preparing to come on. So somehow they've got to find a way to work through this stuff.
We touched on it very briefly at the beginning of the show when we were talking about the injuries, but the injury to Ullmark the other night takes a shot off the helmet, ends up staying in the game, went over and talked to the trainer, stays in the game. Then first intermission, he doesn't come back from the dressing room. Jeremy Swayman has to go the rest of the way. Ullmark had gotten himself into a position where, you know, we've talked about it, that he would likely be the number one goalie going into the playoffs if things continued as they had been over the course of the last few weeks. Now he's out. Swayman has to go back in there. Swayman has been okay.
I don't know about that, Ryan. I think it was kind of neck and neck. For a while it was Swayman, then Ullmark took a step forward, and I think that the Bruins, and Peter Laviolette had this conversation with the media before the Bruins were playing in Washington. He was waiting for one of the guys there to step forward and seize the net. It's a little bit of a different situation in Washington, but here they had sort of been neck and neck. I think that Bruce Cassidy was going to see if he was going to manage their starts here down the stretch. Maybe one goaltender sort of stepped forward, and then he would have an idea of who he went with in game one. I actually think here in the last couple of games, Jeremy Swayman coming in relief And then his last start, I actually think he's taken a step forward a little bit in his game. Yes, the puck touches still need to be a little bit better, and maybe the rebound control can still be tightened up. But he's made some key saves and key game, you know, at key parts of the game to give your team a chance to win. That's what you want, and that maybe had left his game for at least a little chunk of it.
Yeah, Tkachuk banked one off of, you know, off of him and in. So, look, first shift or two of the second period when you get thrown in cold, all of a sudden the puck's in the back of the net, and then you give up a 5-on-3. And, you know, and give up two goals on that, 5-on-3, 5-on-4.
Yeah.
And after that, he was, I mean, he made some great saves.
Well, we talked about the breakaway saves that he made in that game, but just as a kind of a, from a larger sample size over the last, what's it, 6-7 games, his, you know, his save percentage is like 850 or something like that.
It has not been the same guy.
And that's, you know, look, we don't know what Ullmark's situation is going to be. Obviously, anytime you're talking about the head, there's big questions about that. But it strikes me that over the course of a fairly long period of time, people looked at Swayman and said, okay, this guy looks like he's going to be the guy that they're going to ride when they get to the postseason. And now over the past few weeks, it's been a different story. I don't have the same level of confidence in him that I did back over that, you know, stretch in January, February.
Let's take a look at some of the teams in the Eastern Conference. You have confidence in Sergei Bobrovsky in the playoffs?
Not a bit.
Jack Campbell?
Yeah.
All right. Andrei Vasilevsky, I think that that's
I think
that's
I, yeah, I think that's I'd be case okay closed. With him, yeah.
Freddie Anderson, Igor Shesterkin, you know, he's played exceptionally well.
Tristan probably going to be the Vezina winner.
Yeah. Tristan Jarry is going to, there's no question that he's going to have some questions that swirl around him when the playoffs start. The Bruins, we've already documented. The Washington Capitals, we've talked about at length. Look at all those teams just in the East that are going to have questions swirling around their goaltending when the playoffs start.
No, hey, it makes you feel better. But at the same time, you know, again, I just need to see some of the issues that have popped up here with Swayman have got to get better. And you know, you mentioned, Judd, just kind of the way that he's handled the puck, in some cases the rebounds, or you know, just it, you know, not being able to locate the puck when it's, you know, when it's in front of him. He makes the initial save but then scrambles, can't get the puck covered. Like, we've seen a fair amount of that, and we have, you know, all things considered, it's not, Jeremy Swayman is not a 6 or 7 year vet here. You know, he's still a young guy. I want to make sure that he can right that ship if he's going to be the guy that ultimately gets relied on when they get to the playoffs.
He is 23 years old. Yep. He is learning his craft on the fly. You're trying to develop him at the National Hockey League level, and the games are going to get even more intense 2 weeks from now.
I mean, overall, he seems like the kind of guy that can shrug all that stuff off and maintain his focus. He's been that way since the very beginning, right? You remember the big smile on his face during his debut. You know,
he still has it.
He does. And so that gives me hope that he can, in fact, get his game back to where it was earlier on in this season. While we're on the topic of some of the young guys, McLaughlin has come in.
McLaughlin.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
I went off of what Cassidy said when we played the clip earlier. Yeah, McLaughlin.
Bruce calls Grizzlich. So, Judd went right to the source, and
went to the town of Billerica to check it.
No, the PR staff was kind enough to send me a voice memo of McLaughlin saying his last name. Thank you.
Very good.
So that's what we want.
So McLaughlin has come in and been able to put up 3 goals over the course of his first 6 games. We saw Jesper score the other night as well.
Jesper.
That's okay. He changed that one in San Jose. So
has Marchand been giving him tips? But hey, every once in a while, you got to change the pronunciation of your name to keep him guessing.
Sorry, I think PA had him as Frodeen the other day, but it is Froden.
Then someone stomps into the booth and starts asking us questions about that stuff. So, but that's for another story.
But though, you know, to see those young guys being able to come in and produce, and Froden gets put, you know, up on the second line the other night. McLaughlin gets moved back to his more natural position at center because, again, they scratched Frederick. They moved Nosek up. Frederick's coming out of the, or going back into the lineup today, it looks like, and Noshek's going to come out, and McLaughlin will get another crack at playing center on the fourth line. What have you seen from the young guys as they've been?
I think Noshek's a little banged up, or is a little banged up as well.
Okay,
I do think so. I thought he took a shot a couple games ago, I think it was, and he hobbled to the bench. But I mean, they had him playing up on left wing on whatever, you know.
He's like the Johnny Cash song. I've been everywhere, man.
Yeah.
He played for a little bit on the top line. Then he was playing on the second line.
But
been all over the place.
But McLaughlin and Lazar and Foligno were good the other day. So, you know, they keep them together. Give them another shot and give a little rest. So I do think maybe you start to see a little bit of the management right now if a guy's really banged up and hobbled. I don't know that for a fact, but that's the way I saw it.
Mark McLaughlin is coming in.
He hasn't been able to score in a long time.
Oh.
He's had some great chances. He had some great looks a couple games ago against St. Louis, I think it was.
How about against
second
Detroit?
Period. Against Detroit. I mean,
oh,
he needs a goal.
Yeah. He's on the air. You know, this was even before we went on, we had a quick chat, and then we taped the interview in the first intermission, and we were in Detroit, and then he brought it up during the intermission. He's like, I just can't score right now. I just cannot score. But when it comes to Mark McLaughlin, he's got 3 goals in 6 games. Jack Studnicka has 3 assists in 14 games. He's been given some opportunities to play with some better players and be able to score. Mark McLaughlin has been able to do it. Now, I understand he's only been in the middle for one of those games. He's gone to the hard areas. And he has demonstrated, and Beersy and I had talked about this, he has an NHL shot. And he's gotten it off a couple of times. Scored a beauty in his first game. Then the second goal that came in the slot where he had to, and I love the point that Beersy mentioned, that he had to recontort his body in order to get it off and fire it through Ville Husso to score that goal. He goes to the front of the net, has one clang off his skate. He has taken advantage of his opportunities. Now let's see how it looks over a longer sample size playing in the middle against some different opponents. You're going to see an offensive-minded team here in the Penguins here today.
Were you at all surprised he ended up in the middle? I know that's his more natural position, but it does require more responsibility. And you know, to put that on a young guy when you've got, you know, they do have Lazar who's capable of playing in the center there as well.
And he made a point of that if things don't go well, they can move Lazar into the middle. Or you can even move, you know, Noshek back to that fourth line. Talking prior to the last game against Ottawa. But you also have the last change. You know, you've got an opportunity to make sure that you put them in the right situations as far as face-offs go and whatever. So and matchups. So, you know, that I think that probably plays a part in it as well. Not that he can't do the job. I'm just saying because it's an unknown and you want to see what he can do.
Again, good to see him get on the scoreboard a couple of times this week. And you know, the goal on Thursday night, they originally credited to Foligno. It was, which I kind of felt like, boy, Foligno could really use one, you know, a nice, you know, a kick in off of Delzato wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world for him maybe to get his offense going. But, they did correctly credit that to McLaughlin.
He's starting to string together some games, which is a good sign for this team. Because when the hockey becomes a lot heavier, once the playoffs hit, if he's able to translate that into the playoffs, that'll be a good thing for the Bruins.
All right, before we get you guys out of here, quick thoughts on the game this afternoon against Pittsburgh.
Well, we're going to see Casey DeSmith. So you're not going to get a chance to see the reinstallment of Brad Marchand against Tristan Jarry because this is the first time these two teams have played since Marchand was flagged for the suspension. You know, as I remember back in that game, the Bruins came out and they were firing in the first period. But then it got away from them in the second. Danton Heinen had a couple of goals in that game. I think he's got 16 goals now, which ties a career high. This is going to be an interesting game because the Penguins are trying to straighten out their game. As we've documented, the Bruins, having lost 3 straight and 4 of 5, they're trying to do the same.
Yeah, they lost to the Islanders. They had a home-and-home with the Islanders. They lost to them one game, and then they beat them the second one. So, you know, they're scuffling a little bit right now. They're trying to figure out their game and trying to get going offensively, or not offensively, but just overall. And I think that they're a good offensive team. I think they're a dangerous offensive team. A guy like Gensel's had a fantastic year.
And we're going to see Rickard Rakell for the first time as a Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's fit in nicely there.
All right, we'll be listening this afternoon. Have a good call, guys.
Thanks.
We will continue with another hour here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show as Judd and Bob head over to TD Garden for the game this afternoon. Right now, we're going to give you a chance to take something home with you this week. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line
at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington, a proud partner of Bauer Hockey, the best brand for the best players. 617-931-0985. You can get that gift card. We will return with more of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show coming up right after headlines.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home of the Bruins, 98.5.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information. Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do. The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.